Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Live from Cleveland, the Republican National Convention. I'm in a parking lot about three blocks from the convention area, and going to head up and see what is going on in podcast 527, the Bob Davis Podcasts, the new talk. Definitely want to thank, as I sit here aboard Mobile Podcast Command, I want to thank Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for sponsoring these podcasts live from the RNC. Don't forget that Ryan Plumbing and Heating is really your specialist when it comes to emergency service, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Residential and business, and Ryan gets a lot of emergency business calls. In fact, Greg and I were having dinner at a place that they had an emergency problem, and he sent guys over to address it at the place we were having dinner. So they do a lot of emergency service for business, and they've been around for four generations in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. So if you live in Plymouth or you live in West St. Paul or, you know, anywhere in the metro, they can get a plumber to you. And especially this year with the heat coming, you know, a lot of possibilities for air conditioning systems to fail. Don't forget they do AC and they do emergency plumbing service. They get a lot of calls for emergency service. Once again, on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where Ryan Plumbing and Heating has always been, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Don't forget, when you have plumbing and heating emergencies or AC emergencies this time of the year, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Reliable service wherever you are in the metro. And thanks, Greg Ryan and Ryan Plumbing and Heating, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Check them out at ryanplumbing.com. Heading up the street to get some money from an ATM from a little hotel up here on Euclid. And some quick thoughts about podcasting's role in covering these kinds of events. My podcasts are not designed to be minute-by-minute accounts of what happened at the convention. Everybody already knows what happened at the convention, whether they watched it on television or, you know, have been reading about it on the internet. So that's not really the issue. This podcast, it really serves as kind of an audio record of what it's like to be deep inside one of these things on the streets outside, whether it's the RNC or the DNC. Because podcasts live forever on the internet, and people might want to listen to this in 4 or 5 years and say, gee, wonder what it was like in 2016, and this is what it was like. We're going to get the atmosphere of this event on the streets, and that's the kind of stuff that I love to do, and it's the whole purpose of Mobile Podcast Command. Not doing in-depth reporting about what this person said or what that person said about this other person. Notwithstanding, there was a lot of fireworks at the first day of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland in 2016. And my sense is that what happened was hardball politics were played. People were pressured, as I said would happen. There are a lot of disappointed delegates because it looks now, barring a walkout, as though the Republicans will nominate Donald Trump. I wouldn't put that completely out of the question, but I doubt very seriously at this point in time if anything like that's going to happen. People who were not Trump supporters switched over because they're interested in unity. Principled conservatism died here at this convention. Some people say that the Republican Party died here at this convention. I will tell you that there were a number of people who were very disappointed in state leadership that went into meetings with the Trump campaign and came out wearing Trump buttons and talking about how we want to win the race and we don't want to be seen on national television as putting up a big fight or making waves. We want a unified party. And so this is why people say that principled conservatism died. And it was about the rules, and it was about the right of delegates to vote their choice, and it was about the last vestiges of principle in the Republican Party, according to some. To others, it's just simply hardball politics, and at this level, people are going to play for keeps, and that's exactly what happened. And I'm going to start with a woman on the street who actually, in spite of some confusion, has a lot of wisdom when it comes to this group of people and politics in general. And it's amazing that somebody on the street has this kind of clarity.
I have a special spiritual gift of telling of things to come. I've been telling who's going to be president.
Who's going to be president?
For the last, I can't tell now.
You can't tell me now?
God won't let me.
When is God going to let you tell?
I'll be able to tell when, you know, I've seen the rain come, so, you know, it's...
Well, what can you tell me?
Well, right now I can't tell you who the president's going to be.
Well,
I know
hard.
Who it is, but I can't tell.
Right, but I mean, what else can you tell me about what's going on?
Well, what's going on now is the RNC convention.
Right.
And some of the things that some of the candidates have said, they are true. Because I feel that in this country, we have failed one another because we have forgotten that if you bring 50,000 refugees to the border every day, then somebody's going to be left behind. Because where will we feed 100,000 in 2 days?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Where will we put them, though? We got to put them somewhere. If I'm out here...
You're on the street.
Where are they going?
What do you see out here on the street? There's a lot of people with suits on walking around.
Yes, I see a lot of dignitaries.
Yes.
You know.
Well, they think they're dignitaries.
Well, some of them are, some of them are not. And so, you know, but... I've never met Donald Trump, but I would like to meet him, you know. And I've only been to one GOP, convention. And that was in Tennessee when Eisenhower was running for president.
But you don't look that old.
I'm 69.
You got a lot of dark hair yet.
Yeah, but I'm 69.
Right.
And see, my hair was white before the Father created the heavens and the earth. So it has to get to that point now.
So we go back to the white hair.
Yeah.
When God gets serious.
Well, when he's very serious now.
Right.
You know, but, you know, we have out here forgers of lies. They killing babies. And the babies shouldn't be killed, you know. And we have third world countries coming in trying to dictate to us to kill the female children.
Really?
Yes, and that shouldn't be.
What's your name?
Brenda.
Brenda, can I make a donation?
Well, I don't... You can, but I don't...
You don't ask for money.
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to make a donation. So you don't have any prophecies to hand out?
Well, the prophecy that I have to hand out is that... the world right now, high, is going to get better before it gets worse. And that's where we're headed after this election.
So it's going to get better, then it's going to be bad after that.
Well, it's bad now.
Right.
It's so bad now.
Here comes Donald Trump.
Pardon?
Here comes Donald Trump. These are all delegates, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Have a nice day, that bus.
Yes. But I know that it's going to get better. And I the only thing that I'm concerned about is Hillary Clinton. I wanted to know why that they didn't tell that they tried to kill her.
Who tried to kill her?
When she went to Benghazi.
Oh. Well, she didn't. When did she go to Benghazi?
Well, it was when this thing happened over there in Benghazi. But when she stepped off the airplane, they tried to kill her. And this was through transcendental meditation, mental telepathy, and telekinesis. And she could have died when she had when she fell.
Yeah, right.
And this should not have happened. It's a lot of things that they're not picking up, whether she be president or not. They have not solved a lot of problems that need solving. And I think that they should.
Well,
not really.
Thanks for having me as a guest.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in my home.
I'll see you. I'm trying to figure out a place to park here. So
okay. Well, this is parking here is great.
This is okay?
It just costs money.
Right.
Listening to Brenda is like listening to MSNBC or CNN or Fox News. In to a certain degree, it's pretty amazing that a person on the street has that kind of clarity. So that was a lot of fun talking to Brenda. Delaware and Maine State Police seriously checked out my vehicle. I opened up all the cabinets, showed them everything. They got up in there and they looked around and checked everything out. It was pretty exciting. Now, one of the things that's going on here, and it's going to be going on at the DNC as well, are protests. And protests walking up and down this street that crosses Euclid. I don't remember the name of the street that before you get into this exclusion barrier. It's the first barrier before you get to the hall, Quicken Arena, where you simply can't go any further unless you have credentials. So I'm sitting in a little cafe eating sushi and listening to this protest come down the street. The protests, in my view, have been surprisingly tame. I talked to some cops that said that they broke some glass to try to flatten the tires of the cops on bikes and motorcycles. But so far, the protests have been really tame. After they nominate Trump, if that's what happens, which I imagine it will, as I said, we'll see whether the protests turn violent. But as you'll hear later on in the podcasts, some people think that the real action in terms of protests will be at the DNC this year, not the RNC. And then, you know, more on this principled conservatism thing. You know, one of the things that's interesting, and it was also true listening to Brenda talk, and I'm sure that none of the networks interviewed Brenda, but there seems to be, as I've said many times in these podcasts, we're at the end of an era, and there seems to be a great difficulty on both ends of the political spectrum for people to grapple with these key issues like economics, how to grow the economy, how to conduct foreign policy, what's the role of faith and religion in politics, and not just Christianity, but Judaism and Israel, as well as Muslims and this sort of diversity that we have in this country today.
It's the communists, everybody.
And then that's all against the backdrop of violence, whether it's people shooting police or whether it is the controversy over quote-unquote police shooting people. And I put that in quotes because that's a whole HTML text thing that you have to open up and read about and think about.
The Khmer Rouge are here. And then we got the Dump Trump sign. And every cop within 50 feet is, they're all coming over. Jogger comes by.
So when you see these protests,
these are the people that are going to put Trump in the White House.
You realize the complexity of these issues, and isn't actually that the issues are so complex. It's that people are really struggling to try to come to grips with it. One of the people I talked to said that people don't read anything. Delegates came to the convention and they didn't read the rules, according to some. They just came to the convention because they thought it was fun, and they were not apathetic so much as they just didn't do their homework, and they didn't really fully understand what being a delegate was all about. And that's a piece. So when you don't know what you're talking about, it's hard to grapple with key issues. And this is partially explains some of the rhetorical stuff going on, whether it's nomination of Donald Trump, if and when it happens, or the actual campaign once it gets underway. We're watching these people protest and sweat, and it's hot out here, and the sun is bright, and it made me realize that You know, I use Hydrus at yoga, and it's transformed my yoga practice, and it will transform your practice, whatever it is, cycling, CrossFit, lifting, hiking, competitive sports, or protesting as a competitive sport. Hydrus, of course, is the new high-performance beverage that gets critical electrolytes into your muscles really fast without using sugar, and it allows you to take it to the edge. It's amazing to me. I practiced yoga just this week with a young person who was just two of us in the class. He was the instructor. We decided to practice together, and he had to leave a couple of different times to get water, and I just kept rolling because of Hydrus. Hydrus helps me take it to the edge very quickly. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. The Hydrus banner takes you to their page, and you can find out all about Hydrus.
Did you get a picture?
Got a video.
Very exciting.
Oh, yeah. I got a bus.
Reminiscent of Phnom Penh. What I love is these people walk down the street, there's so much media surrounding them. It's ridiculous.
I was just thinking, my parents are watching this. They're probably freaking out.
Oh my God, there's.
They did not want me to come up.
Don't go!
One of the great features of this convention is this little area that I call the cobblestone streets. It's a little street which has a bunch of bars, and it's very close, sort of a warehouse district kind of feel, where kind of a carnival atmosphere exists. It's right before you go into the exclusion zone around Quicken. And it's pretty cool. And so there's all kinds of things going on down there. And, you know, keeping in mind that there's been all this controversy this first day at the RNC, I ran into a Pennsylvania delegate that didn't quite understand what it was all about.
No, I'm just a guy with a podcast. What are you?
I'm a PA delegate, but I saw Politico publish that there was a big uprising and everything, and I was on the floor. I didn't feel that way at all.
Oh, with the whole... the Stop Trump thing?
Yeah.
It's typical. It's just they make a big deal out of it.
But
they said that this was like, that we had cobblestone streets in Cleveland. And it's like, this is the only one.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So you didn't feel like there was a big uprising?
No, I really didn't. I was in Pennsylvania. There were some people from our delegation that said no, but it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I think it was Utah, Minnesota.
And we were, I guess, on the other side of the room, so it was kind of just sitting there like, I don't know, it didn't seem like there's anything going on.
Are you a Trump delegate?
No.
So it's not, you're not freaking out about it?
No.
Well, have fun.
Thank you.
Are you going back?
I'm going to meet my sister at some place, and then I'm going to go back.
Okay. See you later.
It's like, you go on every day.
Okay, you got to go to the Politico hub, which is down there.
Yeah.
Get yourself one of these. They think I work for Politico now.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, come on in.
Sure I do, yeah.
So this is really a culmination of the whole campaign trail coverage, starting in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Was it in June of last year? With the Scott Walker announcement. And it seems like ancient history. Of course, Walker has been nowhere to be seen, you know? And I think it is so interesting out here versus being in there. I've been in the convention. I've been inside the exclusion zone, you know, behind that wall. It's a different experience out here because everybody's just doing what they do. They're working, or it's people who can't get credentials who are doing what I'm doing, you know, hanging around outside this wall that separates the convention goers from the people. I suppose it's necessary, or you'd have bedlam. What's funny is people are playing Pokemon Go all around here. This dude's just talking to some girl that was playing Pokemon Go. That's the big thing. Forget the convention. Everybody's playing Pokemon Go. So there is this little entertainment district by this stadium.
Do you guys have open theory?
The Quicken Loans Arena. And, you know, it's got brick streets, basically cobblestone streets. So I've been reading, you know, keeping track of what's going on. It's just very interesting how it comes out, you know, Clevelanders enjoying white wine on the cobblestone streets in downtown Cleveland. Well, it's, you know, it's not that big of a little area. It's not, it's a half a street with some bars. And, of course, all of the major media have studios up in there. I've just been sitting here thinking how much I am so thrilled not to have to actually be in there. This is the place to be out here in the street. This is fantastic. And you can tell the convention goers versus the regular old people and also the protesters. Everybody kind of has either a suit and tie type uniform or they're wearing protest gear. I'm, of course, just wearing my standard faded, ripped black t-shirt and standing out here. So is this a 3D camera? Really? That is so awesome. And it's portable enough that you can just...
It's sort of portable.
Yeah, well, lugging that thing around must
be... That's the battery.
Wow. So what's this for?
Experimenting, just trying to experiment with 3D camera with the convention.
Get any good stuff?
I don't know yet.
You just started experimenting.
Yeah, I'll find out probably tonight.
Well, good luck. It's pretty neat. So that's something new. 10 years from now, it'll be 3D cameras everywhere. I love this kind of stuff. This is a carnival atmosphere out here. People just having fun, taking a break from the convention, which gets pretty weird. You know, when you're in there and you're in that sealed kind of an environment, it gets pretty weird. So getting out and getting out amongst the crowd is one of the things that's really fun to do. In Tampa, there was nothing like this. There was a Chili's across the street. So this is this nice little homey kind of warehouse thing that people can enjoy. He's after you.
Oh, is he?
Have you been born again into God's family?
I think it's the word society.
That must it, might be. It might be those delicious cocktails. You never know.
That's what it is.
If any man enter in, he shall be saved.
The society bar.
Are you saved? It's a beautiful prayer.
With the dude out here yelling at everybody.
Will you spend?
I feel saved already. And think if you were a delegate from some rural place in Texas or some rural place in the Upper Peninsula or northern Minnesota or Montana someplace, and you got to come here and do this. So this is a lot of fun for people. Just have a beer, relax, and talk to their compadres, their compatriots out here in the street. And I think what I'm going to do is just let you hear and experience in full digital stereo what the cobblestone streets are all about, because, you know, you got a big NBC studio here, remote studio they built, and audio from television and music and all kinds of stuff going on.
One thing your campaign has calculated they can accomplish is count on especially their grassroots supporters to be watching the convention. They believe in with a sense of horror, really, and so they're trying to capitalize on that by reaching out to those kinds of voters. And so she's obviously here in Ohio today, Ohio, a critical swing state. But if you look down the list of where this drive is going, it's going to be at an Islamic cultural center in Ohio, a bilingual day camp in Pennsylvania, the Eastern Market in Detroit. If you think about the types of voters they're going to be finding there, they're very clearly campaign has offended over the course of this campaign. So they're trying to use the fact that Trump is so far in the spotlight that they can try to get some of those folks off the sidelines. And as for the NAACP speech, I think this was one of the more powerful speeches I've seen Clinton give in recent.
coolest places is the Politico hub or lounge, which opens at 5 p.m. And so after the day is over or during that break, that dinner break for people going to the convention, they go down the street to Euclid in this old building. I think it's called the Huntington Building, that they have built this beautiful lounge up at the top floor of this building. And this is where I ran into my old friend Mike Opelka, who joins me on the podcast from The Blaze. So I'm walking around the Politico Hub, which is a really cool lounge, and this is really what Radio Row should look like. But Radio Row is just a bunch of tables and a bunch of guys. It's just not very exciting this year. And who do I run into but my old friend Mike Opelka? We worked in New York together at Z100.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
You used the word old a little too quickly.
Old friend. Well, you know.
Yes, we are. We're advanced compared to many of the millennials gathered here.
Yeah, this is kind of a young room, which is pretty cool, actually.
And I agree with you completely. This is what Radio Row should look like.
Yeah.
There are people working. There are people mingling. It is very comfortable. It's also very high tech.
Yeah.
And the Radio Row here looks like a Turkish market. On a rainy day, everyone's behaving like dogs, and they're arguing and debating and negotiating, and there are more lies told in that room between old radio guys than you'd have at a family picnic.
Well, and not just that, but the thing that always drove me crazy was that it's really just the spinners descend on the place like flies. And if somebody who is of a national stature, and you remember it was 2008.
Yeah.
In St. Paul.
Yep.
And then again in Tampa, Michelle Bachmann, who at the time was quite, you know, she was really hot.
She was the thing.
And she was being followed by probably 50 international media, and it was ridiculous.
If she could have walked on water.
Oh, my God. They were everywhere.
They damn near made her Jesus at the moment. She really was. And, of course, because of where it was in Minnesota, she was really holding forth with all of the minions from the neighborhood as well. So she had a built-in posse, if you will.
Just following her around.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get the entertainers and everybody who's just spinning and walking up and down Radio Row. This is more, I wouldn't say it's more sedate, but it's like you said, it's more focused. It's more, people are working, people are networking, people are.
It looked a little madmanish at the bar, too. There were guys swirling martinis here as they get all emotionally lubricated before the evening session.
Yeah, and they're going to do a bunch of political stuff. But so you've been here, what? You were here for the big floor fight today.
Yes, I was sitting actually straight across from the podium when the Utah delegation proposed the roll call vote, and then they put the hammer down on that, said, well, you know you need 9, but 3 of them pulled out, so you got to go. And then there were boos, and there were people standing and walking out, and the Texas delegation almost threw their hats at people. It was crazy.
Well, Ken Cuccinelli threw his credentials down.
Yes, he did. Did you see him? Was he here tonight?
He's in a meeting right now. They're all meeting, trying to figure out what to do. But the thing I want to know was this without basis, or what happened to the 3 states that supposedly pulled out of it?
Well, that's the question. Which 3 and why? Was there a backroom deal, which usually happens? And, you know, this was all set up ahead of time because the RNC, they hold all the cards. So Reince knows exactly what he's doing ahead of the schedule.
Right.
And I'm sure they had, okay, and if you just had it where you missed it by 1, it's going to make everybody real mad, which is basically what happened.
I mean, this is politics. This is the way it works. But why is the establishment backing Trump suddenly? I thought that was kind of a big surprise. Supposedly they weren't going to back Trump.
Well, it looks like they're reading the tea leaves. Trump has all those ads running against him. Hillary has run millions of dollars of ads, or those PACs have run millions of dollars of ads, slamming him for the things he said about women, the things he said about Hispanics, about disabled move people. And if you look at the latest polls, he's either ahead in swing states or virtually tied with Hillary. So after all of that, he hasn't spent a nickel on national advertising. He's still there, right there in competition. And you know the RNC is going, well, if we back him, maybe he'll just squash her.
How can they back him, though? This is the thing that's interesting. What happened to, wasn't there some relic in the past? I'm trying to remember, it's kind of foggy. Maybe I need some more oxygen.
Maybe.
Something called a principled conservative?
Yeah, and what happened, it's an endangered species. I think if we call the EPA, they're probably staking territory out around the whole convention.
To protect.
That's what those fences are for, and the internal area there.
To protect
the principled conservatives who are left. You won't have to take your shoes off to count them, apparently. So this will be fascinating to watch this play out over the course of this week. I'll tell you what, honestly, I'm not allowed to select a candidate, but I didn't believe it would be Trump. A year ago, I bet a steak dinner at a big expensive restaurant in Miami to a radio guy down there who told me last June 20th Trump was going to be the nominee. And I told him he was crazy and made a bet. And
well, I'm kind of not surprised that he got the votes in the primaries. I thought for sure there would be a more robust challenge to his nomination.
There was. If you think about it, if you go back, yes, he won. But he did not get a majority of all the votes cast. If you add up the 16 other candidates of the 17, they still got more votes than he got.
So, raw votes.
Yes.
But he has enough delegates without some kind of a challenge. So, you know, I'm a little surprised that the establishment laid down like that.
I think they realize that there's nothing they can do, and if they dismiss all of those votes he got, they're going to lose everything. They'll lose the House, they'll lose the Senate, they'll lose the White House. So I think that's the game they're playing is to minimize any loss they might have in order to save the future of the party.
What party? What future?
Well, that's the big question. This was the wildest first day of a convention I can remember.
As far as Republicans are concerned?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty. Usually they're pretty sedate on the first day. So.
Yeah, because it's rules and wonkiness, and that's the only time we hear from the Marianas Islands and Guam.
That's their big moment.
Yeah, they get a moment of the sun.
Ladies and gentlemen, the people of Guam.
I think the RNC is going to be quieter than the DNC.
You think the DNC is going to go crazy?
Absolutely. And I know this from, I got some guys on the ground in Philly because I'm close to Philly. And I've been doing recon work myself up in the Philly Terminal Market weekly for the last 3 weeks just talking to the people. And the other thing is, when you come to this city, it's the streets are pretty wide.
Yeah.
Philly is a
this is
old,
Gotham
tight city.
Yeah.
And those streets are really compressed. Even though this is all down by the convention is going to be all down by the sports complex, the protests are going to be in the city, and they're going to swarm it. The one you want to see, although I think you may not be there, there's a group of Bernie Sanders protesters who are going to perform the entire musical of Les Mis on the streets.
Wow.
And I don't know why anyone would want to miss that.
That wants to bring about communism. And he has a book that his leader wrote. And he's holding it up, and I take a shot, and I'm like, can I get a copy of that? I want to see it. He goes, it's $8. And I go, yeah, you're a socialist. I said, it should be free. What are you talking about? And he went like this. They advocate violence openly. Now, the only reason they weren't violent with me is because we literally had a perimeter of cops of like 300. And I'm like,
is that down?
Down right now. So I'm like, come on, man. So he starts walking away, and I start talking to the other ones.
So what's the takeaway from this convention on this first day? Well, I think that you can probably safely say that the Republicans and the establishment Republicans joining force with the Trump people, whether it was planned in advance or not, whether it was expedience or whether this is something they intended to do the whole time, I think it's fair to say that you probably won't see the kind of grassroots movement that we have seen in the past with Ron Paul and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz in particular, because the rules that were passed that were part of this big debate today were the rules, and everyone's looking at the platform saying, this is the most conservative platform in the history of Republican politics. What they're not looking at is the rules, which allow the RNC to take complete control of future conventions, which could bode well for a President Trump, if that happens, or not. And we'll just have to see. Meanwhile, we're out here in the street. Mr. Sachs is playing, and people are talking politics and enjoying themselves and taking a little break from the convention. So from here, it's on to the EAA Air Venture Show at Oshkosh. Very excited about that. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems will be there. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA does save lives. It's FAA approved. Get there if you can and see Mark Corin in action talking about and showing how Alpha Systems works. And if you want more info, click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page for all that info. Thank you guys for listening to the Bob Davis podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. iTunes, of course, the granddaddy of podcast syndication. BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast radio show right here at the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com and on the Patriot in Minneapolis at AM 1280 at 4 p.m. on Sundays. And of course, thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm thebobdavispodcasts.com. On Twitter, I'm at Bob Davis Podcasts. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcasts.com. A couple of donations came in, using them for Komodo Dragon Coffee and diesel fuel, and I really, really appreciate that. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 527, live from the RNC in Cleveland, Ohio.
Donald Trump will be the 29th man to be nominated for the presidency of the United States by the Republican Party, deeply divided, facing great Democrats.